Yeah, Mort, this is Clint. My
Okay, Clint.
question is, what?
I said, okay, Clint.
Oh, okay. My question is, we are not supposed to do anything to justify our spouse's story as to why they want their divorce. So we're supposed to be nice and stuff like that. But if we're in a situation where, like due to the separation stuff, it like puts a financial crisis and the spouse does not want bankruptcy and stuff like that. How would you deal with a situation like that where they'll say, "See, I knew you would do it," and you lose that trust type thing? Because you're trying to build
I'm sorry,
trust
I'm
and
not following you. What's the situation? You say situation like that. What's the situation?
okay.
Something about bankruptcy? I'm not following.
Right. So you know how finances is one of the issues that creates stress on a marriage.
Okay.
So the my wife, I have an obstinate spouse. She does not want bankruptcy at all, period. She
Well,
thinks it's
nobody wants
immoral.
bankruptcy.
Right, she thinks it's immoral. So I'm and because of our separation and what's going on, I'm now on a major financial crisis. She's not, but I am, because all my
Who
money goes to
moved
her.
out? She moved out?
She moved out,
Okay.
and she filed divorce papers, and those divorce papers will be final the end of this month. So the question is, I'm doing all the stuff you're saying. I know that it's making some effect because she's getting some major pushback. You know, she doesn't want that connection. She's trying to maintain her story. But if I have to file like bankruptcy to even try to survive, and I know that she does not want it, how will that affect that? Aha, see, I knew I couldn't trust you. You went and filed bankruptcy type thing. And how, you know, it justifies her story.
Well, it shouldn't. You shouldn't file bankruptcy. If it you and your wife obviously are married, so there is no. When it comes to finances, when it comes to major decisions like that, as it relates to money, there is no you. There's only we. So that's a decision that the two of you have to come to together. Now, I understand at this moment there might be disagreement about how we should handle our financial situation. Let's say, for example, you think we should file bankruptcy and she thinks we should not. So at that point, the Clint family, whatever, don't tell me your last name, but let's say Smith, the Smith family is not ready to make a decision about this matter, because husband and wife haven't come to agreement and decision about what we want to do. So you should not unilaterally file for bankruptcy, not because your wife doesn't want you to. In other words, not because you shouldn't not file for bankruptcy because she's morally opposed to bankruptcy. It's not the reason that you think or that you were saying. You shouldn't file bankruptcy because that's the kind of decision, and there are many of them in life and marriage, that we shouldn't do unilaterally. Just like you shouldn't go buy a car or a motorcycle or take a $10,000 vacation or, you know, register your kid for a private school or decide where to put your mother, you know, who's ill in a nursing home. I mean, there are decisions that husband and wife have to approach as we.
I got it.
So now I realize that throws you back into the den a little bit. In other words, in a sense, I have just made your life a little bit more difficult in the short term. Oh my gosh! I mean, now I got to negotiate this with my wife. I've got to discuss this with her, and we're on different planets when it comes to this topic. Okay. Let me actually take the opportunity to transition to a related topic. No matter how great a couple is together, there will always be, during the course of a marriage, disagreement, right? There's always going to be times when I want to do X and my wife thinks that we should do Y. Now, when we come to those points, and everybody does, what do we do? Sounds like such a simple question. But it's amazing to me, I would say 99% of people, couples, never really answer that question. Now, I'm not talking about, now, if you're answering it by saying, well, you work it out, you talk it through. No, that's not what I mean. Let's assume the scenario I'm talking about is we've already tried to work it out. We've already spent days talking about it, using all the best communication techniques, trying to understand each other, parroting back to each other what the other thinks. We've been to a counselor. We've been to a therapist. We've done everything in our power to try to resolve this conflict, this issue, whatever it might be. And at the end of the day, you know what? We don't see eye to eye. I want to do X. She wants to do Y. What do we do? How does a husband and wife get through that scenario? It's amazing to me. Nobody has an answer to that question. I'm going to give you an answer to that question in a second, but nobody has an answer to that question. And it might only be once a year or even less frequently that scenario comes up. But when it comes up, it's crucial. I mean, it is of paramount importance. And if a husband and wife aren't prepared for it and they can't get through it, over the course of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to end up having this whole inventory of issues that, you know, they either never got resolved or I'll tell you what most people do. One of three things in these situations. Either somebody dominates the other. You don't agree? I'm just going to do what I think is best then. Possibly that's what Clint was thinking. It sounds like he was. My wife is morally opposed to bankruptcy. She's not going to like it, but I got to file for bankruptcy. I mean, you could see that when I answered him that, you know, you can't do something like that without the consent of your wife, that was like revelatory for him. Like, wow, I see, you know. So, you know, and a lot of people, Clint's not unusual, and maybe that's not the case with Clint. I don't mean to accuse you, Clint. But a lot of people, you know, if you ask them how they resolve the scenario that I just presented, so a lot of people, they won't necessarily say this, but their history basically says that they just end up doing what they want, and their spouse gets dominated, controlled. Sometimes the other scenario, the other possibility, the second possibility is that somebody may not be controlling or dominating, but maybe somebody just capitulates. They're a conflict avoider, a people pleaser, and they really are, you know, opposed to this decision, but they just can't stand the thought of being either undecided or in conflict. And so they just say, fine, do it your way, it's okay. It's really not okay. It's eating them up alive inside, but they don't see any other way to get through this. The third possibility, the dysfunctional way that sometimes people end up dealing with these scenarios, is they don't make a decision. It just remains outstanding. Not every example has the possibility of that being an outcome. In other words, let's say the decision is, you know, where we send our kid to school in September. Well, not making a decision is not one of the options, right? I mean, one of the other two things is going to happen. Either somebody is going to dominate, somebody is going to capitulate. I mean, the kid's going to go to school in September. But sometimes we're dealing with things where decisions don't have to be made. They should be made, right? Or it wouldn't be so important. But they don't have to be made. And the third dysfunctional scenario is where decisions that really need to be made don't get made because there's no agreement, nobody's dominating, which is good, and nobody's capitulating, which is also good. But no decision is made, and that's not good. So, okay, Mort, what's the solution? So what I'm going to suggest, it's so incredibly simple, and I will tell you that it works 100% of the time, 100%. I also want to tell you that my wife and I use this periodically. I don't know, I would say a handful of times over the course of a decade. You know, maybe once a year, once every other year, something like that. It's very simple. It works like this. You have to agree in advance on a mutually trusted, neutral third party, objective third party. Not a friend, not a family member, not somebody who is emotionally involved or knows you personally, but some trusted, neutral, objective professional. Could be a spiritual leader, a priest, a rabbi, a mon. It could be a counselor, a therapist, a coach. It really is not so crucial. It just has to be, the key is mutually agreed upon and trusted. And you go to this person and you present to them what it is that you're dealing with. And you basically say to them, we need to know what's in the best interest of our family here. We've been talking about this. We can't come to agreement. We need you to exercise your best judgment and show us what is in the best interest of our family. And, of course, the two people have to... Let me actually it's easier for me to explain this if I speak about it from a personal perspective. So my wife and I have somebody that we trust. He is a incredibly wise man. Brilliant, wise, steeped in the teachings that we believe in. And we know that this man has only our best interest, our family's best interest in mind. And so we go to him sometimes, and we tell him why we're there. We're not here to learn. We're not here to grow. We're not here for counseling. Maybe another time we'll come back for that. Right now we are suffering. We've been arguing about this for X number of weeks. We've had exhaustive discussions about it. We don't see eye to eye. We can't make a decision. We can't get through this. We can't come to mutual agreement. What we need from you is a decision. We need from you finality. We need you to tell us what is in the best interest of our family here. We both submit our will to yours. Whatever you say is the best thing to do, we are prepared to follow your guidance, whether it's what we want to do or not. And 15, 20 minutes later, we walk out of there with direction. We walk out of there with a decision. And it's over. It's done. There's nothing else to talk about. And we feel so relieved. And I've been on both ends. I've been on the end where it's decided in the way that I thought it should be decided. Of course, that's easy. But I've also been on the end where it's decided in the way that my wife thought it should go. But let me tell you how I walk out of there feeling. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. I'm not frustrated. I'm not disappointed. I walk out of there feeling two things. One I've already explained, which is relieved. It's over. Thank God. And the second thing is I walk out of there saying to myself, I must have been missing something. Because I have total faith and trust in this man. And if he suggested that it go the way my wife was suggesting that it go, then I must have been wrong. I must have been missing something. And so I feel totally at peace. I don't feel like she won. I feel like we won. And I don't feel lost and I don't feel defeated. Because all I really care about is that, you know, what happens is what's in the best interest of our family. You see, the ability to do this requires a quality that's so important in life. It's a quality that I bet most of you have now, if you haven't, maybe you had it before too. That is humility or humbleness. You can't be an arrogant person. If you are, then you're not able to really walk into that office and submit your will to another. for some people, it can be a difficult thing to do. But if you're like that, if it'll be difficult for you, that's your weakness. That's something that's reflective of something that you have to work on. You know, I do some premarital work, not much, but I do some premarital work. And one of the things I tell people is to discuss this prior to getting married. And if you're dating somebody, I tell them, who is unwilling to resolve conflict in this way, don't marry them, because it's a sign of arrogance. And arrogance can destroy relationships.